Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how many of you enjoy watching those extreme makeover kinds of shows? You know, there's all kinds. There's the fixer-upper that do the houses, that make them from just total disasters into something beautiful. And then, do you remember the show Biggest Loser? I really like that one because the before and after pictures of this show is just amazing. People who had been struggling their whole life with health and weight and self-image, and then they're just transformed into these renewed people. It's amazing, right? And when we see these before and after pictures, it lifts us up and makes us feel encouraged. Sometimes, though, before and after pictures can go the other direction. I found this image from Southern California, after the wildfires ripped through a particular neighborhood. This just gives us a tiny glimpse into what has been happening in Australia and in California. The extreme makeover takes something that's healthy and whole and devastates it. And I'm wondering this morning if you've ever experienced that kind of a makeover. Maybe in your own life, for yourself personally, or maybe someone you love, or maybe something, like a system, that something has happened to that person or that system where they have become overwhelmed by some form of destructive power, whether it be an addiction, whether it be a deep spiral into mental health issues, whether it be relational rifts or systemic failure. And if you ever thought that in that moment that it's just a lost cause, right? Like there's nothing more we can do. It's beyond hope. Well, our story today, I believe, is about someone, a man, who everyone in his town had written him off as a lost cause. And we're going to see what happens when he encounters Jesus and the cost of his restoration. So I invite you in your Grow Guide. There's the drawing that's there. I'm going to be walking through that. If you want to pull that out, you can even use that to take notes. But we have to begin the story right where we left off last week, at the end of Mark chapter 4, because we're going through the Gospel of Mark in our series, The Rise of the Great Disruption. And remember last week, Jesus was sitting in a boat and preaching to the crowds on the shoreline, giving them the parables of the soils. And now he's in the boat and he says to his disciples, let us go across to the other side. Now this is more than just a boating excursion. Because remember, up to this point in Jesus' ministry, everything that he has done has been in the region of Galilee, which is exclusively Jewish. And his disciples are all Jewish people. So when Jesus says, let us cross to the other side, what he's saying is, we're going to go over to those people who are Gentiles. People who don't follow the laws of Moses and who are unclean to us. So here's my question to us today. Who is in our life the other side? Everyone has the other side. Whether it be political boundaries between red and blue, whether it be racial boundaries between black and white and brown, whether it be religious boundaries between Christian and Muslim, and Jew and Hindu, or maybe it's just the people across the street. You know, for a long time, it was Norwegian Lutherans versus Swedish Lutherans, right? They were the other side. And is the other side a lost cause? Now, whenever Jesus tells us, and Jesus always tells us, to cross over to the other side, it is a disruptive force. And it's not an accident that the gospel writer of Mark tells us that a storm brews up. And the people in the boat with Jesus are like, "Teacher, are you not concerned that we are perishing?" And, you know, Jesus just taking a nap. You see, Jesus is literally and figuratively disrupting their entire world. And in the ancient world, the people believed that the wind and the waves were the gods of chaos. I mean, their world is being turned upside down by this teacher named Jesus. But he wakes up in the middle of the storm, and he just looks out over the wind and waves, and he says, "Peace, be still." And it's calmed. And then he looks to his disciples, and he says, "Guys, don't you trust me yet? Have you still no faith?" And they're like, "Whoa, who is this guy that he even has power over wind and waves, over the gods of chaos?" And then he brings them to the other shore. And this is the beginning of Mark chapter 5, verses 1, leading up to the text we read. You see, there is a man on this other side who has spent most of his adult life being tormented by demons. And he's a berserker. I mean, he's a wild man. They've tried to chain him, but he's so strong that he breaks the chains. And listen to how he's described in this passage. It says, "Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones." Right? Like every family and every neighborhood has the woo-hoo guy, right? I mean, like, he's just over there, and we're just going to let him be over there because we do not. He's a lost cause, right? And Jesus encounters this man. But look what happens. This is one of the most terrifying stories in the New Testament. This man comes up to Jesus, and this voice says, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, do not torment me." It's the voice of the demon inside of him speaking to Jesus, the unclean spirit. And Jesus says, "Come out of this man." And oh, by the way, what's your name, unclean spirit? And this is where it gets really creepy. Because suddenly, out of this man's body comes this voice, "I am Legion. For we are many." Right? I mean, this is like the most terrifying horror scene ever, because this man is not inhabited by just one unclean spirit, but by many, a legion of unclean spirits. And then these spirits, they say to Jesus, "Have mercy on us, Jesus, and send us into that herd of swine that's over there on the hilltop." There were 2,000 pigs just doing the pig thing over on the hill. And they say, "Send us into the swine." Now, isn't that fascinating? Like, there's so many questions about this. Why does Jesus need to send these evil spirit, unclean spirits into the pigs? Well, there's lots of theories, but here's one that I think is really compelling. You see, the word legion is the term used to describe thousands and thousands of Roman soldiers, a legion of soldiers. And the 20th legion of the Roman army had a wild boar as its emblem. See, I think part of what Mark is doing is making a political commentary. That the entire region, not just the Jews, but also the Greeks, have been possessed by the Roman Empire. And they need to be taken care of. And then what happens next is disturbing on so many levels. The unclean spirits inhabit the 2,000 swine, and then they throw themselves off the cliff into the water and drown. Why? Well, do you remember another story where God overcomes an imperial army by drowning them in the sea? When the Egyptians were chasing the children of Israel out of slavery. There's so much going on in this story, right? That Jesus has the power to overcome the unclean spirits, the systemic evil of an oppressive empire, and one human being's life. But notice what happens. The text that we read, How do the people of this village respond to the healing of this man? Isn't it interesting? Nobody in this is like, "Woo! Jesus, you're amazing. You healed this guy." This is what they say. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. How disturbing would that be, right? This guy has been bruising himself, howling, breaking chains, and now he's just like, "Would you like a cup of tea?" Right? He's just good again. The very man who had had the legion, they were afraid. And then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. This begs so many questions. But you know what's fascinating to me? I mean, think about it. These people are swine herders, right? Their entire income is raising and selling pigs. They just saw $2,000 signs jump off a cliff and vanish. I wonder if what's happening in their mind is, "Jesus, we're actually more concerned about the economic disruption that you have caused us today than we are about rejoicing that you have just healed a man." What is the cost of the disruptive power of Jesus' healing? Well, Jesus goes to leave, and the man's like, "Please let me come with you. These people, they don't want me. They don't get me. I'll be safe with you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "No, you need to stay, and you need to tell your people what I've done for you today, because they need to hear it." These are non-Jewish people. And so this man who was once possessed by legion is now declaring to the Decapolis, the Gentile people, the work that Jesus has done to set him free. It's a beautiful story. So here's my question for us today. Who is the lost cause that you thought about? Last night, my wife and I, we went and saw a movie called Just Mercy. I didn't know anything about it. Oh, man. It's so perfect for this sermon. It's a horribly tragic story, true story that happened in the late 80s, early 90s, about a black man in Alabama who was wrongfully accused of a murder and instantly put on death row. He was completely innocent. All the evidence showed it, but the system kept him on death row. And it was one attorney who went down and fought for justice, and he was released. It's a beautiful story that just tells the power of systemic evil. And that this community was not willing to see the truth because of their own fear. I recommend you watch it. So I have two questions. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, "Pastor Steve, I'm the lost cause. I'm on the edge." Well, I want to ask you, do you believe that Jesus can rescue even you? Because he can. If Jesus could set the legion out of this guy, if you believe that Jesus can do this, we can do the work. That's why we're here. But you might be on the other end of this. Are we willing to pay the price for true healing? Because the kind of reconciling work that Jesus disrupts in our life comes with a cost. It changes the status quo. It is economically disruptive. It is societally disruptive, and it will make us uncomfortable. So will we embrace the disruption, or will we just ask Jesus to leave and get back in the boat? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the power of your healing through Jesus. Remove our fear. Amen.